We're back with the Jay and Randy Show.
All right, yeah, back with more fun. 1520 AM WCHE Westchester, where the static is. Yes. Joined here in studio by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Steve Hofstetter. Very exciting, yes. And Steve's fellow comedian, Phil, right?
That's right.
Jump right up on that $11 microphone.
How we doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, good. So you guys often tour on the same like comedy routes as one another, or you know, like
yeah, there are usually three of us actually.
Okay.
It's usually me, Dennis Donahue, and Phil Mazo. And you know, Where is Dennis? Why isn't he?
Dennis is in Sacramento.
Oh, that's right. Dennis is playing Laughs Unlimited this week. So he's not with us. But usually we do the colleges together. We call it the Amateur Tour.
Oh,
we've
cool.
We've got like a little mini bus. It's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah. TV, PlayStation, and you know,
nice.
All that stuff. A little bed in the back for Dennis and Phil to be terribly deviant with people after the show.
Nice.
I'm taken, you know, so I can't.
Yeah.
Obviously, I got to be good. But.
Okay. So you guys just drive from town to town. How do you arrange all that? I mean, it must be tough arranging like each city where you're going to play and this and that and making it profitable. It's got to be tough because I mean, there's limited amount of money clubs can pay you to be there. And
well, that's why we play the colleges.
Okay.
You know, the colleges usually pay a lot more. Obviously, a show like tonight is a charity show, so it's different. But you know, you basically we're at the point now where we know how much a trip is going to cost.
Okay.
You know, give or take a little bit. You know, we know what gas costs. We know what food costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, all we have to do is just say, all right, is there enough money in the budget to, you know, to travel this way?
Okay. Because
when we, you know, when we use the bus, the gas is going to cost a lot more, you know.
Sure.
But at the same time, we have a lot more leeway because we can drive overnight because we got a bed in it, you know.
Okay.
So we could rotate and, you know, sleep shifts and everything. And it's also the thing about traveling all together is it's fun. You know, there are three of us, you know, and we're all close friends, and we are some of the nicest and most terrible people you know all rolled into one.
Okay.
We're basically, our conversations are awful, absolutely awful, which makes it a lot of fun. And, you know, and we're good friends, and we have a good time with it, and,
nice.
You know, that makes the bumming around a city's worth it.
So it's kind of like being in a band, but you don't have to lug the drums in.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of nice.
It's like being in a band, except we play our own songs.
And we don't get laid.
It's well, there's that. Speak for yourself. Dennis does okay.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Oh, hey, you still there, sir?
Yes, I am. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Good. How are you, Art?
Good. Great guest. Great job, man.
Cool.
Mr. Hofstetter. Is it Hofstetter or Hofstetter?
Hofstetter.
You know, there's a lot of Hofstetters in Lancaster County.
I did not know that. I was unaware. I have every now and then, like, you know, Hofstetter will just show up to a show. And you remember when we played Fairly Dickinson, Phil, and my cousin showed up?
Oh, yeah.
That kid. Nicest guy, but he was definitely socially awkward. And we're doing the show, and the host was a sorority. And they're like, the show is absolutely packed. There are all these really hot girls, and he's all excited because he's with the band. You know, at this point, because he's like, yeah, he's my cousin. And there was this after party, and we were going to go, and then we decided not to go, and he was, like, devastated, because we were his ticket to the after party, you know? You know, nice kid, and every now and then, you know, I'll meet a cousin of mine that, you know, that will come out to a show, and then sometimes people come and pretend they're related to me, but, you know, they're Christian, so probably not. you know, and so it's actually a lot of fun, you know, and you can't. If you Google my name, you know, if you Google Hofstetter, you know, you come upon me. So I'm sure all these other Hofstetters are wondering who the hell I am. So,
There's a reason for the social awkwardness in Lancaster County, because most of the Hofstetters are interbred. They have the Amish.
Oh, yeah.
It's true story.
Oh, so then I'm definitely related to them.
Hey, look at Dave the Electrician. Doesn't he look relaxed?
He is, yes.
You know why? Because with his normal job, he has to look over his shoulder and make sure a train's not going to run him down.
Yeah.
But I think I know one of your cousins from Queens, or one of your friend's cousins, rather. Is it Ben Lowe?
Yeah, you know Ben Lowe's cousin?
Yeah, you know Number One China just outside of Queens?
Number One China?
Yeah, the Chinese restaurant.
There are 85 restaurants called Number One China.
Exactly. But there's the guy that runs it in there, he's called Wen Hung.
Oh,
that's the first name.
Oh, cute. I see where you went with there.
Never tell a comedian a joke. Sorry.
No. You can tell a comedian a good joke.
Thank you. Good one. Great interview.
All right, cool.
Good luck. Thanks. With the show.
Thank you much. Yeah. All right.
Take it. All right, there he goes. Good. Very nice.
It's so rare that I get to do a show where I get to take calls.
Yeah.
It's so much fun because somebody, aside from the fact that I tape ahead of time, most of the shows.
Yeah.
Because most times people are like, hey, you want to do my show? I'm on the air from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Would you like to do it? And I say, no. Yeah. How about we tape the day before? So it's so rare that I could actually take calls. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love when people call.
I don't do any tape shows. So we get offers for guests, and they're like, oh, well, we can tape it, and you can play it the next day. Yeah. I'm like, well, then the audience can't be part of it.
Well,
so.
that's why I had to wake up at 6:30 this morning. Yeah. Smart guy. So, yeah, I really appreciate that you don't tape. Thanks. If you taped, I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, if we taped, then it would be like, okay, well, can you edit that part out? Okay.
Yeah, Phil and I would still be sleeping.
You know that part where it wasn't funny? Can you edit that part out?
Right. You'd have a three-minute interview today.
Yeah. It's the worst. It's good. So, all right, so you're playing tonight at Drexel University.
Drexel University, 8 p.m. And we should have taken this time and, like, looked online to see
where... I got computer aided.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. So if you go to my website, we'll find out the venue name.
All right.
Because I'm terrible about that. I play a different... You know, I'm in a different city every day.
Mm.
And so many times people are like, so where are you playing today? I'm like, I don't know. I got a website. You can look. Like, I have no idea. I can't keep track.
So hey. It's www. It's MySpace.
Well, you can, you know, the easiest is just go to stevehofstetter.com.
Okay. Right,
because you can spell it. All hopefully, right, cool. My CD is sitting in front of you. So if you can't spell it, you're in trouble. I always try to spell it for people over the phone. That's the most difficult because people can never hear. And I used to do a bit about this. I used to do a bit about having to say F as in Friday, S as in Saturday, T is in Tuesday, E is in Tuesday, you know, and I had this whole long bit, and like people thought it was funny, but they're like, that doesn't really happen, does it? And every time someone's in the car with me and I'm on the phone with, you know, tech support or a bank or, you know, whoever I'm calling, and I have to spell my name, it comes true. The bit every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to say my name four or five times, you know, and spell it out, which I think they should be able to spell it once I spell it for them. But apparently not. And on the side, you could just click. It should say like Philadelphia today.
Look, it says Westchester, PA today.
Yeah, that's, click on that. It's a little. You see, it tells people to listen in.
You know, I was doing like, I am like the world's biggest douchebag. I was Googling WCAG for like the 100th time last week.
Nice.
And about three pages into it, I see Steve Hofstetter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he has this like as this huge thing on his website.
I put you on the website. Cool. I'm going to play. You guys are plugging me. You know,
you do that yourself? You do the website yourself or you have somebody?
Yeah, I do.
Who's Kristen? Is that like your
publicist? Kristen used to work for me.
Oh, okay.
Kristen, she worked for Next Round Entertainment.
Okay.
Which, you know, I worked with, and they do publicity and everything.
Okay.
And so she used to be there, but now she's a cop. Which is weird. Yeah, she left the industry to become a cop.
Wow.
Yeah, because I guess she didn't deal with enough dirtbags in comedy.
Nice.
That she had to go find more. Turns out she's just arresting all my fellow comedians. That's all it is.
Dave the E would like to chime in.
Steve, I wanted you to ask a question. Uh-huh. When you start making comedy movies and stuff, are they going to shorten up your name for like Steve Stetter or something? Or when you're on the stage?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you need to shorten your name on YouTube. you mean professionally? No, I made a pact with my father a long time ago that I'm never going to change. I will not change my last name. And
you won't sell out.
It's no. I am Hofstetter, and I'm going to teach the world how to spell it.
Nice. It's
one,
not that hard.
One
to spell.
T at a time.
Yeah. There's it's not that hard. Three T's in Hofstetter.
So all right. So
not
click,
in a row.
What are you doing? Click on Philly already.
Philly.
Let's find
okay.
Out where,
let's find out where you're playing.
Find out where Drexel is. I want to know because we got to drive over there tonight.
All right.
What's the name of the venue?
The name is Drexel University, Main Hall Auditorium.
Main Hall. I couldn't remember Main. Main Hall Auditorium.
You got a lot of gigs going up. Every day you're playing.
That's what I said before. You didn't believe me? I got a brolic
you're
schedule.
You're really a comedian.
Yeah.
I'm a real boy.
You're playing. Okay. Okay, ours, wow, well done website too, because it doesn't like show where you played last night. That already went away, and the new one's on now. So you have WCHEs on the top of the list because you're here now.
Yeah.
Drexel University.
It's done by date. Actually, right after I leave the studio, not only will it go off the website, but I'll disavow knowledge of ever being here. So it'll come off Google too.
Good. Yeah.
In fact, if you Google WCHE and Steve Hofstetter,
yeah,
it will say, "Do you mean anything else?"
Yeah.
That's what it'll say.
The page not displayed.
Yeah.
Drexel University.
Yeah.
It's tonight. University of Pittsburgh. That's gotta be a long drive.
Well, it isn't. We're actually, and there's a thing missing in there that, you know, because not everything is up there. Like, we have a thing in Syracuse this weekend that's like this college convention where like talent buyers from different colleges go and they recruit, mm-hmm, basically, or they, you know, you sort of sell yourself to them. It's really nice. It's really one step up from being a hooker. It's really good. it's basically, you know, a hooker. Well, we don't kiss on the lips either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of similar.
Nice.
Speak for yourself.
PhilMazo.com. So that's not on the schedule because it's not like people can attend. So the only stuff on the schedule is the stuff that people can either listen to, you know, like the radio or you know, if I do morning TV or something like that, or, you know, or if it's a show people can attend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, so, you know, you look at that schedule and even though it seems like 5 days in between,
yeah,
it's actually even less than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's even more stuff that's in between the gaps.
Cool. Yeah. All right. University of Pittsburgh on the 15th.
Yeah.
Straight to Tampa. Now, obviously, you're flying there?
Or? Yeah, flying to Tampa.
All right.
Just for the night.
For one night?
For one night, yeah. And I just found out the other day it's an outdoor show.
Really?
Which I am not excited about. I am not excited about an outdoor show. Yeah, heckling really increases at an outdoor show.
Okay.
Yeah, we did Lehigh once. I'm about to play Lehigh for the seventh time now. That's actually my record now. And we did an outdoor show there once, and it was great, except cars kept driving by and like honking at us during the show, and people would yell stuff because they feel protected.
Yeah.
And like I said before, everybody wants to be famous, so you've got a crowd of 300 people, you know, watching this stage. Mm-hmm. So of course someone's gonna run up behind it and try, "Hi, mom," you know, like all that garbage.
Yeah,
same kind of stuff. Yeah. So outdoor show, I'm not looking forward to.
Let's go through some comedians.
All right.
And we'll get both of your opinions on it. Sarah Silverman.
Phil, you want to go? You can go first.
Actually, you know what? I used to not be too crazy about her
because
she just seemed very formulaic to me in the sense that, you know, she's a cute girl who says, like, the worst things ever.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, she's really grown on me. I just think she or whoever writes for her is a really good joke writer.
Cool.
Yeah, I think Sarah's great. I think I've worked with her a lot in L.A. She was actually the first big star I'd ever worked with. The one of the first shows I did out in L.A., she was the headliner. And, you know, she's great, you know, very nice too.
Cool.
And, you know, and definitely I think a lot of the appeal to her is like it's the girl you can't possibly bring home to mom.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like
– Again, speak for yourself.
It's I've met your mom.
My mom will be happy that I bring anyone home.
That's true. You're like, this girl is 8 feet taller than you. Sorry, cheap shot.
I'm sure.
All right, Sam Kinison.
His early stuff.
Yes.
Fantastic. Unbelievable. Okay. The desert bit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most classic bits of all time.
She wants to share.
Yeah.
It's sad.
That's pretty good.
It's sad. You know what it's going to be in another 100 years? It's going to be sad!
Yeah.
That's pretty good, man.
Thank you.
And his first Letterman appearance, absolutely classic.
Yeah.
So memorable. You know, so many people do a late night show and you go, oh, well, they're just telling jokes. Mm. He had an act.
Nice.
You know, it was an act. His later stuff, you know, I feel like he started playing to his audience instead of having his audience play to him.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so his later stuff, a lot of it was just this rabble-rousing kind of, hey, we're all drunk, yay.
Sure.
But his early stuff is some of the best stuff ever written.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like him. And, you know, along the same lines, it's just like if anyone said those same things, they wouldn't be funny. So that was just all him.
Sure.
Yeah.
I liked when Rodney was bringing those guys out. Like when he first introduced Sam, I thought that was like that tape. I think Roseanne Barr's even on that. But I mean,
yeah, the Young Comedian special.
Yeah, and then I don't know if it was another special where he brought out Dice. And Dice, I thought at that time was, you know, friggin' brilliant.
Have you seen him now?
I saw VH1 was doing something with him. It was kind of neat to watch because it's behind the scenes. It's him taking out the friggin' garbage and stuff. And
well, the weirdest thing was, were you there when we saw Dice at Sirius?
No,
you weren't there. All right, we were doing so it's right after an episode of my show wrapped up,
mm-hmm.
and we're all leaving and we're in the lobby and we see Dice out there We're like, oh, this is cool. And, you know, we're I had a panel show, so it's five comedians. Mm-hmm. We're walking out. We see Dice, and he's filming this reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And reality shows, there's such posturing there. There is such posturing there because there's a wall at Sirius that everybody signs. And they replace it every now and then. It's like these panels of this, like, fiberglass, and then they move it, and, you know, they sign new stuff. And at the time, it was almost all signed.
Okay.
So he's like, where do I sign? And they're like, well, there's space at the bottom. He's all upset that he's got to be at the bottom. You know, nobody puts baby in the corner, right? So,
well done.
So thank you. So he does this.
Great movie, by the way.
So, yeah. She is like the wind through my tray. But yeah. which always sounded dirty to me. Anyway, yeah. So Dice says that he's going to sign. There's this picture of Elvis on the wall.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to sign this instead. So he goes to, like, sign it, and one of his handlers is getting up in the way, you know, being like, don't do it, don't do it. And they're making this whole huge deal, and the cameras are rolling.
Mm.
And I notice, and I lean over to one of the other comics, and I go, he's not holding a marker. Like, he's threatening to sign this Elvis thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's going nuts. He's going to sign it. I'm like, he's not even holding a mark. How is he going to sign it, you know? You're getting in his way for him to write on it with his hands.
This will look good in post-production here.
Yeah.
Why don't you edit this so it looks funny here?
Your impressions are pretty man.
Thank you.
It's just all reality TV. Yeah. You know, reality TV is the least real thing on television.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all scripted. Ugh. At least with a sitcom, you know it's garbage.
Yeah.
You know? With reality TV, you know, you might have this illusion that this is actually real.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go through the list of other comedians and we'll get your opinion. I'm trying to think of who I really like. Like, Sarah Silverman is like I'm not that into female comics.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't seen enough, so it's kind of a...
Well, you haven't, statement. You know, I mean, you probably haven't seen the good ones because...
There aren't many.
Yeah,
it's... Because, you know, one's in New York, one's in L.A., so...
Laura Keitlinger.
It's Laura. You know
I've
what?
I've seen her. I genuinely laughed a couple things I've heard her say.
Watching her when she was hosting, she hosted that show on Comedy Central for a while. I think it was I forget the name of it. I can't think of the name of it. But I, you know, when I first got Comedy Central, I was 15 years old, and you know, all I'm doing is watching stand up. You know, that's all I'm doing, and I hated her as the host on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the more, you know, now that I've grown up and now that I get what she does, I think she's hilarious.
Cool.
And, you know, and it was just this thing where I just didn't like her as the host of that.
Mm.
And maybe it was just because she was in the way of the stand-up, because she wasn't doing stand-up as the host. She was just introducing the clips.
Okay.
And, you know, but I think her stand-up is great, and she's been really funny in a lot of the movies that she's done.
Okay.
So, you know, I think she's actually done quite well. There are funny female comics.
Okay.
The problem is the vocal minority. You know, there are so many of these female comics who go up there. I actually, before I was ever a comic, and I was 16 years old and I was working at a summer camp, they brought in this, you could tell she was this whiny, complaining female comic to entertain us.
Okay.
And I turn to my buddy and I go, $5, says the first words out of her mouth are my ex-boyfriend. And sure enough, I won $5.
Oh, nice.
I didn't even know her act. I didn't know, but she just starts out, my ex-boyfriend.
Ugh.
And, yeah.
There are funny female comics. They're just not very good looking.
It's...
And the less good looking, the funnier.
Yeah, that's sometimes true in just in general life. Where if someone's ugly, that's hilarious.
Speak for yourself, man.
It's...
Again.
Did you guys ever watch... on YouTube, Joe Rogan does a thing where he takes Mind Dementia.
Oh, the thing, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, phenomenal.
It's where he takes the set that, like, he's doing, it's Mencia doing the Cosby bit about the father played football with him, and then he says, thanks, Mom. But it's like 25 minutes of getting to that. And then Mencia does it. It says, that bitch never played football in your backyard. He says, thanks, Mom. You know, he does it's like verbatim, same act.
The weirdest part, and the reason why, you know, and there's a lot of parallel development in comedy.
Sure, sure.
You know, but the reason why you know that he stole that bit is because every other joke Mencia does, set up punch, set up punch, set up punch, set up punch. That's his style.
Mm-hmm.
His style is not a long-winded delivery.
Mm.
Cosby's style is a long delivery.
Mm.
That was 3 minutes of nothing to get to a big punch.
Mm.
And Mencia never does that except for that joke.
Yeah.
That's the only joke I've ever seen him do that.
Wow.
And so when I saw that, I was like, there's no way that's his.
Wow.
And the worst part of it is that at the end of it, and you nailed it the way you said it, Mencia dirtied it up.
Yeah.
You know, here it is, a classically misdirection joke.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't know where he's going with it, and he takes you so far. And then at the end, you know, Mencia, and he even says some other stuff we obviously can't say on broadcast radio.
Yeah.
You know, and he's freaking out and jumping up and down and, you know, trying to be all animated. And,
yeah.
And you know he took it.
Yeah.
By the way, you perform a Mexican accent almost as well as he does.
Phil Mazo, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. Those. Are you really philmazo.com?
Yeah, but nice. I would go to my MySpace.
How did you get that? Yeah. How do you spell Mazo?
M-A-Z-O.
Oh, look, I got it right, and nice. My spelling's atrocious. Let's go to michaelacollier.com. Good morning, Michael
A.
Collier.
Randy?
Yes?
I got a question for Mr. Clinton.
Yes?
I was wondering what he thought of the female comics today. He could answer while I go off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, very good. I kind of like Sarah Silverman. She's pretty hot. All right, the worst Clinton ever.
I was like, "Who's Mr. Clinton?" There, I was like, "His name is Phil Mazo." Yeah. It's Mazo, yeah, Mazo spelled C-L-I-N-T-O-N. Yeah, I was like, I don't understand what he's asking.
Sometimes in the right venue, sometimes I can nail a Clinton, but other times it's just painful. So
yeah.
So,
I can't, like...
I'd love to nail a Clinton.
Hillary, Chelsea, or Bill?
All three. Anything that will help my career.
Yeah. That'll make big news.
It helped Monica's career.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
She's got her line of handbags now.
Does she really?
Well, she did for a while. I don't know if it's still going on.
You'd think she'd sell, like, berets with that ridiculous beret look.
Yeah, I don't understand why she was suddenly, like, French special forces. I didn't really... understand that.
You haven't received until you've seen the top of a beret. Now do Clinton. All right. Other comedians, because I like this. Because I like hearing like real working comics commenting on other, you know.
I do too. If you get any in the studio, let me know.
Yes. Pauly Shore, the brilliant comedy stunts.
Oh, that reminds me of when we did Comedy Zone in Harrisburg.
Yeah,
and they were talking about how he was there, and like no one showed up.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, they must have promoted it really well.
Nice. Wow, that's good.
Pauly Shore, I don't like talking trash about other comedians.
Okay. All right, but now
however,
now it's unavoidable. Gallagher.
Yeah, I had the weirdest moment happen with Gallagher. So there's a booker I work for a lot, Tom Sobel,
mm-hmm.
who books, he books a club in Louisville. That's I consider it like my home club on the road, and he mm-hmm. books a bunch of random stuff all over the place. And you know, I've been working for Tom for a while, and Tom basically sees me as like I'm the guy that sort of understands the internet and understands like the marketing side of comedy.
Yeah.
So apparently, when Comedy Central did their 100 greatest comedians of all time. And Gallagher was number like 98 on the list. Hmm. And so he was all upset that he wasn't higher. So he calls Tom and says he wants to do some big promotional thing. So Tom says, oh, I know just the guy who can help you with this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met Gallagher. I didn't know Tom knew Gallagher. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I get a phone call from Tom Sowell, and he's got this really deep. He just, oh, Steve, I've got Gallagher on the line for you. And I'm still half asleep. I'm like, what? What are you? What? Like,
hit me with a sledgehammer?
Yeah, and I was like, put him through?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, it's just like, hey, Steve, this is Gallagher. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
You like watermelons?
It was, yeah. The weirdest part about Gallagher is if you look, a lot of his stand-up is actually really clever.
Okay.
You know, like a lot of the wordplay stuff that he does, you know, I always really enjoyed. And, you know, he had a lot of, you know, of good, quick jokes.
Mm.
You know, he was the first one that I ever saw, and it's become stock at this point. But, you know, he had a thing where someone in his audience yelled out that they were from, like, North Dakota. So he asked if he shut the light before he left. You know, stuff like that. And that's now – it was so good then because it was original, and now it's become stock. You know, now that's just a standard. You know, he had a lot of stuff like that. And then the smashing fruit just kind of takes away
painful.
From it.
Painful. Yeah. I mean, like, why would you pay to go see some guys smash – okay. If he did it once, maybe it'd be fine. But, like, 500 different items, say, smashing with a big mallet is just like the most lame act.
Yeah, it's so weird, and everybody loved it. Yeah.
Not to mention, how insulting is that to, like, third world people?
Yeah.
See this food? Not anymore.
What he should do is he should do a charity show for third world people where they don't cover themselves up in the front. They just keep their mouths open and see if they can get any nourishment.
Nice.
I got a piece of watermelon.
1520 AM WCHE Westchester. Did you guys put money in the meters?
Actually, I did at 10:30. I put 2 quarters in, which means I have to replenish it right now.
I might have. I didn't buy an Enquirer today. Do you need some quarters?
No, we got. Sure? We should be good.
All
right. So we got.
No, they ticket.
They're still in the car, right?
They ticket.
Actually, I couldn't find them. I went to get some change.
Oh, really? Oh, it's
they
right
ticket
in the,
like crazy out here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So let's.
Unless like you guys just don't buy.
No.
Let's
throw some quarters in there.
All right, there you go.
No, with the amount we drive, we can't have any tickets.
Okay, all right, cool. I didn't know if you just blew them off or whatever.
No.
Are they going to extradite to Jersey?
No, I blow off campus parking tickets.
Okay.
Campus parking tickets are hilarious. Okay. Because first of all, they're $8.
Nice.
And second of all, you know what the penalty is?
What's
you
that?
Can't register.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, really? I can't take classes here? Oh, damn. Yeah. I was so looking forward to being a student here.
Yeah.
So the guy with the camera works here, right?
This isn't yes.
All right, cool.
I thought that was the guy who was on the phone who was asking us about this guy over here. I'm like, is he looking through?
I said on the air, does someone have a digital camera that could take a picture? And Josie heard that and came in.
Oh, because all of a sudden I see this guy with the camera, and I was like, I was like, is there anyone guarding the door?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, actually. Yeah.
I was like, and you were totally like kind of stalking the window when you were doing
it
too.
When we take a break, can I get a picture with you guys?
Yeah, definitely. Right,
cool.
Well, we got to feed the meter anyway.
All right, cool. Let me go to Ron on the phone. Hey, Ron, how are you?
How you doing today, Randy?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
Good.
Good.
I don't know who you're talking to. I just got on. I'm on my way to work and got the radio on where I can pick you up.
Yeah.
And I heard you comment about Gallagher and, you know, how you think it's kind of lame with hitting the fruits and stuff.
Yes.
Well, let's put it this way here. It's not the fruit itself that's being smashed. A lot of the times, like I saw him on HBO probably about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he says beforehand. He changes that.
Oh, okay.
And somehow or another, it's funny. And it's like some jokes were just good, no matter how you say them. In other words, you can take an old joke that you're totally bored with,
mm-hmm.
but put a twist to it.
Okay.
And when you stop and think about it, don't we continue to laugh at some jokes continually?
Oh, certainly.
Well, and it's not the fruit that he smashes. It's the hopes and dreams of the third world nations that can't eat the fruit.
Yeah.
That's really what he's smashing.
Hopes and dreams.
It's symbolic.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the segment, but we were talking about how you know Gallagher is very witty and he's got a lot of good material. You know, just the fruit smashing distracts from it.
Uh-huh.
We should also clarify which Gallagher we're talking about because there's like five of them.
Right there. Yeah, there was Gallagher
one
and Gallagher
two. His
brother. His brother.
Yeah.
No, his brother like stole his act.
Stole.
Yeah. He. I think
is
it was
a
like
twin,
a lawsuit.
Or?
I don't know, but there's a at the Comedy Caravan, that club in Louisville. There are pictures of all these comedians on the wall, and they're paintings, you know, like some artist just did renderings of, and it's all these old school guys. And the big joke in the club is that the picture is not Gallagher, it's of Gallagher 2. and that's, the, you know, that's their big
wow.
contribution.
Ugh.
Yeah, there is a second Gallagher, it was Gallagher 2, and that's how he went as, he toured as Gallagher 2.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. You know, you also have to look at it. You know, it borders on the slapstick.
Yeah, I mean, we're not
and
saying the guys
continue to watch the Three Stooges and laugh at the same one over and over and over again. So, I mean, I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that, you know, you're entitled to your opinion that it's getting kind of lame, and I kind of agree with you partially. But you know what? When you haven't seen it for 2 or 3 years, I find it being funny again. You know.
All right, I'll have to check it out. I'll try.
I just thought I'd give you my comment.
I appreciate it, Ron.
Hey, have a good day, guys.
You too, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Everybody's got their opinion. You
absolutely.
Know? I mean, there are people who, you know, there are people who write to me and tell me they find, you know, Cable Guy funny. We had an incident. I should tell about the incident in Oroville. Where I changed the guy's mind. This guy comes over to me after the show, like, I don't appreciate what you were saying about Larry the Cable Guy, and he's funny. And I'm like, well, you know, I never said he wasn't funny. I just said I don't find him funny.
Okay.
You know, you're allowed to find him funny if you want.
Sure.
And I explained the whole thing about how he's fake, how his name is Dan Whitney. And the way I did it, I said to the guy, I was like, are you familiar with Dan Whitney? And he goes, no, who's that? I'm like, well, that's Larry the Cable Guy's real name. And, you know, and then I explained the whole thing about how fake he is and how everything's an act. And I said, and if you want to find it funny, that's perfectly okay. By the end of the conversation, the guy was like, well, I never thought about it that way before. I'm like, I got one. I'm converting him one at a time.
He basically started from wanting to fight Steve, literally, to, like, wanting to hug Steve.
Wow. It was really weird. It was nice. Usually it's not that big of a success. Usually I just get people not to fight me.
Yeah.
You know, usually I just get people to back down. Yeah, not always that either. But that guy was – yeah, and that was the same day that we had this guy – we had one of the weirdest runs. That whole week was weird. But this guy – it's in Oroville, California. This is like hour and a half north of Sacramento.
Mm.
You know, so we're talking rural here. The only thing there is a casino. This guy's at the show, and when I talk about – you know, I talk about the book and I talk about, you know, balls.
Mm.
And then he yells out balls on my face.
Okay.
So I say to the guy, not for $12. I say for 12, it's going to cost a lot more than $12 to get me to put my balls on your face. And, you know, but thanks for opening the bidding.
Yeah.
And then he keeps yelling at me. And so finally I go, you know what? I will do it if it'll shut you up. If it'll just keep something in your mouth just to shut you up.
Sure.
And so finally, so he leaves. And, you know, and we're yelling back and forth. And but finally he leaves. And I absolutely destroy the guy. You know, he's his fault for heckling and everything. So after the show, he's waiting for me.
Oh, he's going to, like, fight you? He's going to, well, like, punch you now?
Because we're in a casino. There are, like, eight security guards surrounding him, you know? And he's, like, yelling at me. And he yells at me. And it takes me a while to understand his point.
Yeah.
He was saying that his girlfriend got robbed at the show. Which I'm guessing he means she left her wallet out in the open, walked away from it, and someone took it. Like, that's probably... Because you can't get robbed at a comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to... How is that going to happen? You know, so she probably, like, lost some money or whatever. And he's saying that that's my fault. And because of that, how dare I talk about him on stage in a bad way because he's already going through some bad things today. I'm like, first of all, it's not my fault that your girlfriend got robbed. I wanted to say, good, you guys deserve it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm like, and second of all, shut the hell up. You started with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my fault for a response. You yell balls on my face in the middle of a comedy show, and I'm not... You know, you don't yell something in front of a guy with a microphone and a sense of humor.
Why would you pay and then, like, heckle a stand-up act?
People can be idiots in the parking lot for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand why. But I think it all goes back to the whole, you know, they want to be included.
Yeah.
And they want to, and that's why he was yelling at me so much, and he really wanted to fight me. And it was because, you know, he's posturing for his girl. You know, his girl gets mugged, so now he's going to be the white knight. By picking a fight with a comedian who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and we're not even from around here. And I'm like, what does that have to do with it? But also, like, I would have figured you were from around here because here is a terrible place to be from, and you obviously are a terrible person.
Wow.
So you fit right in.
Why wouldn't he just, like, go to an open mic night if he, you know, if he wants to...
No courage. No real courage.
I guess. It's tough, man. I went up one time I've done... comedy in front of people, and it's way different than doing radio. But this was a million years ago before I ever did radio. But this was at a wedding where it was like
a friend
of my brother's married this girl who was much older than him, but she was good looking, but he was really young. He must have been like 20. Yeah, exactly. He was like 20. She must have been like 45 or something. I think they've since been divorced. But in front of the
wedding
in front
cake
of my
is
family,
now fresher than her.
I got up and basically I just did like Dice's act.
Oh, at a wedding?
Yeah. So I'm doing that, and I'm doing like Rodney Dangerfield, and my parents are laughing their asses off, and I'm being all filthy and stuff. But that's got to be tough to get up in front of strangers. I mean, I think I was getting some courtesy laughs.
I think actually it's tougher to get up in front of people you know.
Really?
Because in front of strangers, there are no repercussions.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, you know, you can go home and you'll... I mean, there are people who come up to me after a show and be like, hey, you know who my favorite comedian is? And they'll describe them to me without knowing their name. Like, and that's their favorite. Mm. So there's no way they're going to remember someone they didn't like. You know, they might go, hey, I really didn't like that guy with the red hair. Carrot Top? Yeah, him. You know, they don't know. So, but in front of your friends, I mean, in front of your friends and family, you better kill.
Yeah.
Huh. I have to, every time I go to a wedding now, every time, you know, I got a toast. I'm that's my job. I even had to speak at my grandmother's funeral. Because I'm the professional speaker in the family. And so I wrote something. I really wrote it just to make my mother feel better.
Mm.
You know, I just wrote something on the plane it was a red eye flight. And so I wrote something on the plane on the way over just to cheer her up, you know, just a couple of funny things that, you know, that I had remembered. And she was like, you know, can you read this at the funeral? And I was like, I guess so.
Yeah.
And it ended up turning out really good because.
You killed?
This
are they going to have you back?
This is, yeah. I know who books that. Phil. Filthy Mazo. This is. Wow.
Man, I can't wait till my grandmother dies. Maybe I'll get booked on a gig.
If I didn't have such a terribly dark sense of humor, I'd be offended right now. But I think it's hilarious. Well, at a funeral, most people are just like blubbering and, you know, they don't know what to say, and they don't know how to handle a crowd. Or,
yeah, you gotta get up talk about how few peanuts are in the bag.
So yeah, exactly.
Did you get heckled?
It was We were like, "Boo!" Some guy yells out, "I love Larry the Cable Guy."
I'm like, I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about Grandma.
Oh man, Art, you're on the air.
Grandmother funerals. My cousin comes back to me, just visited the casket, pays his respects. He says, "Grandma's still mad at me." I said, "How can you tell?" He says. She won't utter a word to me.
Hey, it's a good second effort, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's an in-house perspiring prospective comedian, Joe C. And, Steve, could you give us your opinion on what a stand-up routine would be? Because he's got one of those old jokes that keep being recycled. I would love to hear him tell the joke and then have you honestly, you know, either heckle him or give him your opinion.
I would be happy to heckle him.
All right. Well, he's a stalker, by the way.
I think what a routine should be. It's hard to say. You know, there's no set rules. I mean, I guess there are a couple of small rules, but you know, there's not just don't be hacky and
never let him see you sweat.
Yeah, never let him see. No, you can if you're John Panette, you have to. Yeah, you have to. Dennis sweats all the time on stage.
It's the only time he sweats.
Yeah, it's so weird. The third guy in our little entourage. He can't go on stage for 2 minutes without sweating, which is so weird because, you know, he'll be absolutely destroying and he'll be sweating like crazy. He'll run 5 miles and not sweat.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I don't understand.
In all fairness, he's Italian.
It's
healthy. If it comes to a lot of hair, the sweat, it's healthy.
Yeah, nice. He's a hairy guy.
I'd love to hear Joe C. tell his joke and you guys rate him.
All right, cool.
Big ball of awkward. Let's go.
Hey, I didn't realize you were the guy that does the sports minute. Which turns into minutes. It's great. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you very much, Art. I appreciate
it.
All right. Thanks, Art.
See you.
There he goes. All right. Any television in your future? I mean, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld turned his gig into actually a pretty brilliant show.
Working on two pilots right now.
Nice.
One of them is like a spinoff of the Sports Minute. It's like a sports talk show.
Okay.
And we shot a pilot of it that... We decided to shoot it in a different way, so we're going to shoot it again in like December or January and then package it and see what happens. And the other one is just a television version of a live show that we produce. Actually, Phil produces it as well, and you know where I'd be host of it. And it's sort of it's a real twist on the stand-up showcase idea. It's a fair competition. You know, there is a competition element to it, but first of all, we don't care who lives in a house with who.
Mm.
You know, I don't understand that about, like, hey, you know what would be even funnier than their written, proven material that everybody loves?
Mm.
How about we see them ad-lib in a house and get mad at each other for stealing peanut butter?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really understand the entertainment value there, but hey, people are into it.
Sure.
You know, and so this is just a straight-up competition, and it's, I don't want to give away too much of it, you know, because obviously, you know, one of the two people listening might steal the idea.
That's right.
But
either Art or Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Art, Mike, don't take the idea. But Yeah, you know, but it's I'm really excited. It's, you know, two pilots, and I say they should probably both be wrapped in the next 3 to 6 months, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Nice.
You know, I mean, I'm a comic. I'm not an actor.
Mm.
You know, and even though I've done, you know, a little bit of acting, I don't enjoy it a lot. You know, okay. I enjoy.
Neither do I enjoy your acting.
Yeah, it's there. It was there. It was. Touche. In fairness, he's right, but. You know,
he's just like poking you the whole show.
That's
doesn't
his job.
Say much,
though.
But what he does is just
that's his job. That is Bobby Kelly said that Phil had the best timing in the business.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
He very much might be right.
Yeah.
That was a nice poke sound effect. Yeah, yeah. It's basically what it is. The worst part of it is that he does that while we're driving.
Yeah.
All right, let's be fair. While he's driving,
and also to myself.
Yeah. It's yeah. Phil also pokes himself. Do you ever get, since you have like a glass window that looks right onto the street, do you ever
yes.
get people who, you know, do you ever get people who like, you know, surround the studio and, you know, have like signs and stuff or like the Today Show?
It hasn't gotten to that point.
No, not yet.
The audience, I think, is growing.
Downtown like, Westchester?
Yeah.
Sunny downtown Westchester.
Well, the thing that's weird about this station, this is a, I don't know if you've ever heard of such a concept. This is a daytimer station. You know what that is?
I'm shot in the dark.
Okay.
It's on during the day.
Yeah, AM signals go really, really, really far at night.
Right.
So a certain amount of stations, well, actually most AM stations have to reduce their power greatly at night.
Yeah.
And some have to turn off their transmitter at night. And
oh, so this one has
those.
To.
Yeah.
Ah.
So it's pushing a boulder up a cliff to go, yeah, I'm on 1520. I turned on last night. I heard somebody in Buffalo. Yeah, we're not allowed on at night. And then, like, their eyes start to glass over, and they think, is this a college station? And they're like, nah, this
no,
is a commercial radio station. So, like, there's a chart in here of, like, what time we're allowed to turn a transmitter on and
wow.
what time we have to turn it off every night. Otherwise, like, FM, that's not a factor. FM is a completely different form of radio. But AM...
Right.
This goes back to like the 1920s and 1930s when they had fewer stations, and there would be like a 50,000 watt station in New York. You might hear in Chicago at night. You'd be
right.
like, no, I'm listening to the New York station. Yeah.
I freaked out once because I was in Wisconsin, and it's in the middle of the night, and you know, and I'm driving through the night to make a really early flight. You know, I had to get to the airport at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving through the night, and I turn on the radio. And I hear a commercial for Branson, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, that's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Then I turn to the next station, and I hear the University of Kentucky football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And then it's a station that I'm a regular on. It's a Louisville station that mm-hmm. I know from the club.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm in Wisconsin. I think I'm in Wisconsin. And I stop, and I get something to eat. And there are two girls wearing Washington University St. Louis shirts. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, did I go the wrong way? Like, am I in Missouri somehow?
Yeah.
Or where am I? And I had to ask the person behind the counter. I'm like, this may be a really weird question, but where are we right now? And she told me, and it was the name of, you know, a town I had never heard of. And I'm
okay.
like, all right, what state
oh,
are
man.
We in? I don't even, obviously confusion.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Where
wow.
It was so freaky. I had no idea. Because, you know, I mean, we're what, like 6-7 states away?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
really scary. I had no idea where I was.
The second our transmitter turns off at night, you hear Buffalo, New York, just as clear as you hear our station, which is
wow.
really weird.
That is really weird, especially yeah. because, I mean, Buffalo's got such a great nightlife.
Oh, yeah.
You really want to promote it.
It's all, like, syndicated shows.
It's just one person going, I'm cold!
It's a syndicated liberal station, so it's like, hey, man, President Bush sucks. Well, okay, well, we know that, but, okay, now I'm trying to say something funny around it and think
yeah.
crash and burn.
In fairness, he does.
Yeah, they're right. But yeah. Yeah. What is your political affiliation?
My political affiliation... technically, I'm registered Democrat.
Okay.
I am not quite as mad at the Democrats as I am at the Republicans.
Okay.
Even though, well, because right now, the current Republicans are just embarrassing.
Mm.
But the current Democrats is like, how could you not beat them in the last election? How could you not? You were, you know, that was.
Sure.
It's like being a Knicks fan at this
okay.
point, you know?
All right.
So I am actually, I keep getting pushed more toward libertarian because, you know, I don't thank you.
I am a. Registered libertarian.
Do you know who Mike Benarek is?
Yeah, I've had him in this studio.
Oh yeah, Mike's a friend of mine.
No friggin'
yeah,
way.
We were with the same publishing company briefly.
Wow,
yeah,
Michael Badnar. He's been in the seat you're sitting in.
That is fantastic. I will call
wild.
Him and let him know.
That is wild. Actually, I'm voting for this gentleman. I had to change my...
for Ron Paul?
Yeah, he's a libertarian, but he's an elected Republican. So I actually just changed my registration to Republican so I can vote for him.
The only reason I'm not going to vote for Ron Paul is because I want my vote to count. And he has no chance.
Oh.
Best of luck, though. Best of luck. Right. No, the fact that he's running is adorable.
Kathy, you're on the air right now.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
Good, good. I wanted to let Steve know there are listeners out there.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kathy.
I have to say, how funny would it be to have Mike and Art standing out in the street with signs?
Oh, that would be funny.
Oh, yeah, either just put the two of them out there.
Yeah, either that or they can go up to the webcam and stand out in the middle of the street, you know?
Nice. That'd be great.
Yeah, but you can show Steve the famous guests page.
Absolutely.
Yes.
See
his friend.
They should stand out there in the street with signs and just make sure we don't get a parking ticket.
Yeah.
There you go.
Double duty.
There you go. Woohoo.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you.
Listening. See ya.
Thank you, Kathy. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and let's go to David Influenza. Hey, now, you're on the air. Did you hear your new name is David Influenza?
I was just told that by...
Boyd came up with that.
Bleakman, very good.
That was good.
That was fine. No problem there. Anyway, from time to time, I've been known to stand out in front of your station and do the strut out there, the mummer strut.
Yes, I've seen you do that.
I would be in front of that window a lot more if there were hot women. Josie and I were talking about that. There was hot women in the studio like they have at some of these other shows.
There was one outside the window earlier.
There's a lot of hot chicks in Westchester. There's a college here.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they were inside your studio, then all the guys would be hanging out with cell phones going, did you see that girl?
No, if they're outside the studio, you have a chance of talking to them.
Yeah.
What do I need to talk to women for? I'm already in enough trouble as it is with the whole damn borough.
If there are hot women in here, you might have to take me out of the studio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because I might go a little crazy.
Where's Jay? Did he have a special meeting to go to, Randy?
Yes, Jay has a prior engagement.
Really?
Yes. So Dave the electrician is screening calls. Joe C's came in with his camera.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know what? Now's the time to take over.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
This is a good interview, anyway. I just want to call and say I think it's a nice interview. It's a nice change from yesterday.
Cool.
Was yesterday a bad interview?
Yesterday was
different. Let's put it this way, and it was good radio. It was frustrating for some.
Yeah. What was it?
Well, the borough council president came in here.
Yeah.
And like Westchester, like every year your taxes go up like 10% every year, but like the roads are nothing but potholes and. So we a lot of people come on and just like bitch about the borough.
Well,
so
Pennsylvania roads are fantastic. Did you see? You could actually play it. I just put a thing up on you when we were in Harrisburg. I went off on the roads in Pennsylvania. We should call it up.
Is it clean?
Fit in perfect.
Radio
yeah,
clean?
It's clean. Yeah,
cool. Okay,
it's,
all right, cool.
It's if you go. Oh, I gotta. You know, during the break, I'll search for it.
Okay,
because I'll be able to find it. Yeah.
Okay,
it's not super easy to find.
Okay,
right. And around Harrisburg probably has the best roads anyway because it's always near where the governor lives.
Yes.
And those roads aren't even that good, and they're a lot better than what we have around here anyway.
Certainly.
Yeah, well...
go ahead.
I was just going to say my favorite part is the construction. And you'll see I have a whole thing I went off on it. But Pennsylvania construction, because we're constantly driving across Pennsylvania because whenever we have a gig here... Or, you know, I mean, we're in Jersey, so we start out, we go across Pennsylvania, go to Ohio, you know, go – even when we're going down into Maryland, you know, or West Virginia, we'll cross through. And it's when they whittle it down to that one lane.
Yeah.
That, you know, that one lane with the two walls on either side.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when they do it and it's raining. That's a real safe drive.
Mm.
And especially when most other drivers don't put their lights on.
Yeah.
That's a really – I really enjoy the near death. Yeah, I want to die. I want to die in the middle of a field in Pennsylvania.
What is your website again? I want to look it up. I didn't catch it the first time, maybe.
The easiest way, go to either collegecomic.com or you go to myspace.com/comedy.
He got the URL comedy on MySpace.
You know how many comedians hate me for that?
Why?
Because it sounds like it's the like official comedy page.
Yeah.
But it's just my page. And most of the other comics are like their full name and they've got to spell it and, you know, all this stuff. I was so tired of spelling stevehofstetter.com. I was like, I got to do something about this.
Wow.
So I got MySpace/comedy.
Nice.
It says here, bring Steve Hofstetter to your campus.
Yeah, that's because I sent you through the college page. But if you click on it, if you notice, there are like tabs on it. There are links to other things.
Right. Well, that brings up a point. I don't know, Randy, if you talked about this earlier, there was that one comic at Villanova University here that they ended up not paying during the freshman orientation. They yanked him after about 5 minutes of his skit because it was actually offensive.
Yeah.
And
Was it offensive because, like, it wasn't funny and they expected him to be funny and they were offended that he wasn't?
No, it was offensive because they said that they looked at his tapes and all that kind of stuff, you know, played his DVDs and his CDs, and it was a lot different. But I don't know, you know, what the true story was.
What was his name?
You know, I forget offhand, but I remember he
was it Phil Mazza?
Yeah. Sounds like him.
He opened with a great joke about my grandmother dying. You know what? It is as crappy as it is of a school to do that. It is right. The comic's responsibility to ask before they go up what the parameters are.
Okay.
Because when someone comes to a club to see me, I don't censor because they're coming to my show.
Mm. Okay.
But if I'm bringing my show to them, then it is my responsibility as a comedian and as someone who is contracted by them to say, hey, what's okay? You know, what is – and I have a little trick that I do whenever I play a college. I say, hey, are we censored?
Okay.
Censor is such a terrible word for, you know, for an institution of higher learning that they're like, well, we don't like to censor here. I mean, that's not what we do. And so then if I say something that they get offended by, it's their fault.
There you go. Good.
So,
thing,
but you got to ask beforehand. You always ask beforehand. And if the comic doesn't ask, it is their fault for assuming that they can do what they want without making sure.
All
right. And would it also be in your contract, so to speak, the type of audience you're playing to, or not necessarily?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, it's such a gray area because it's really, you know, how do you decide what's offensive and what's not?
Right.
You know, I do a lot of like edgier stuff that I can do without cursing.
Mm.
You know, I can do like I'll do, you know, a synagogue or a church benefit, you know, and I can do my same set except I just don't curse. And, you know, but people who are offended by me talking about the Bible as fiction, which is, you know, a joke that I have, you know, they might say, hey, that's really offensive. Whereas, you know, some person only might get offended by the F word.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
I'm a big fan of the C word.
The C word.
Now, Steve, is this your, in the MySpace page, is that you as a little boy?
Yes, that is me as a 5-year-old boy on MySpace.
Okay, don't tell Joe C about it, Randy. No,
wow.
I'm teasing.
That's me as a. Do you remember Hands Across America?
Yes.
That is me participating in Hands Across America. That's what that picture is.
Oh, Hands Across America. Okay, so that's when all the pedophiles were out there.
Well, yes. Well, I had, you know what? I had that, hands, just hands. I had a headshot up for a while. And then, you know, and I just got so bored of it, and so then I just started putting ridiculous pictures up there. The last one I had was of me. I've got a picture, and you can click around the MySpace to still see it. There's a picture of me, like, locked out of the White House.
Okay.
It's like me sitting in front of the gate of the White House, like, obviously upset that I can't get in. There's another picture of me with, like, sitting next to these two aliens. And, you know, I just got so bored of the whole, like, here's the posed picture, you know, and especially – a lot of comedians, especially female comics, have these airbrushed headshots, you know, where they're trying to, you know, look all glamorous. And I'm like, look, it's not about being glamorous. It's about being who you are. And so I just got so fed up with it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put up a picture of me when I was 5. And that's that is what's up there. And I'll
probably look like Problem Child there.
I do. And you know, the name Hofstadter is actually in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it with on a class trip when I was in like 6th grade. They played it on a class trip, and there's one part where they go, they're at a party, and they're like, you have to come meet the Hofstadters. And I'm like, oh, that's the coolest. And because I was such a loser, and it was so cool that everybody's like, wow, Steve's cool for the minute.
Wow.
It was my shining glory. And all those people now have terrible jobs, so eat it.
Well, it looks like you have a really great webpage and MySpace page.
Thank you very much. I try.
You do. I feel bad for you because you're 6'4", athletic. You're white and Caucasian, but you're not playing basketball.
Hey, what's up with that?
Well, I'm athletic build. That doesn't mean I'm athletic. that's not a skill level.
But there you go.
I used to pitch. You know, I could play a little baseball, but basketball. I was always decent on defense. You know, just because I was tall. But I had no shot at all. You know, like leave me open for a free throw, and Shaq will laugh at me. Like it's that bad.
Oh, this is good. I'll let you guys go, and talk to you tomorrow. This is a good show today.
Awesome.
Thank you much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir, for the time. Bye.
Thanks, David. All right, there he goes. Very good. 610-692-3131. Steve Hofstetter and Phil Mazo are here in our studios here, the illustrious studios, 105 West Gay Street. And they're two very funny comedians.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yes.
Let's talk about why every town in America has a gay street.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. They all have a gay street and they all have a high street.
Yeah.
And you guys, high street is like right near gay, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there an intersection?
Yeah.
The intersection of high and gay. That's if you get really high.
Yeah.
You know, get too high one day, suddenly you're gay.
Yep.
I don't understand that. The weirdest part is when college towns have it.
I've gone that high before.
I've been that gay. when college towns have a high street,
yeah.
It's like, what do you do? Like, I understand that maybe this was named before the term was used.
Sure.
How hard is it to change the name of a street?
Sure. Make a main street or whatever.
Yeah, you have to know. You have to know. The same way that, like, in Detroit, the hotel that we stay at for the club is on Big Beaver Road.
Really?
Which happens to be exit 69. Like, how do you do that?
Nice.
How do you not know that?
Wow. How do you not do that?
True. There's got to be a city council at some point.
Yeah.
Actually, the former Beaver College is not too far
from
here.
Oh, yeah, they changed that name because of the Beaver jokes.
Yeah, we perform there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the former Beaver College. And we also, and we're going to be, next week, we'll be at Ball State.
Wow.
So, which I told them, they may as well name their school Teabag Tech.
When I first got on this station, like, I played that bit that you did, and at the end you say, yeah, you guys laughed at a beaver joke, and I bleep beaver, because at the time, I was thinking, like, well, I don't know if you're leaving loud, since then, we became a little more edgy here at the station.
Nice. Well, you know, you guys are only on for 3 hours a day, you know, you gotta make sure to make it count.
Yeah, you gotta give them, twice the fun.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty well, because I was thinking, like, oh, I have that bit in the computer already, and I played it, and I bleeped it, and I'm like, why did I bleep that? So I played it off the CD.
Yeah. Well, the CD, that's like the radio edit version.
Yeah.
So they do, you know, they do edit. That's like the Walmart version.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a Walmart version of, you know, of the CD, which is basically the CD with all the jokes taken out.
Oh, okay. It must be great.
Because if anyone's got a sense of humor, it's the folks at Walmart.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
Stock my book, please. Stock my book. I've been plugging Barnes & Noble a lot, though, because they've been really good about the book.
Oh, good.
They put it on the tables and everything.
Nice.
So they've been, I always say, that the book is available at Barnes & Noble and bookstores everywhere, except the crappy ones.
Oh, yeah. So, I hear that. Oh, yeah. At the end of the Sportsman.
Yep, that is the plug.
Yeah.
Which is true, because if you go into a bookstore and they don't have my book, crappy bookstore.
Yeah.
Eat it, crappy bookstore. Your fault. Stock the book, and you won't be crappy anymore. That's your solution.
I noticed on the CD where there's curses, it's silent.
I was thinking
I should send him an email. I might have even done this. I think I did send an email to Kristen.
Okay,
saying
I'm
like a whiz with Cool Edit. If you ever wanted somebody to put a censored bleep in there,
I'd be glad
to do it.
It was a thing that the station decided to do, and I think it's because I curse enough on the album, especially, I mean, there's one track you can't possibly play, the FCC track.
Sure.
Where, if you play that track, it'll just be silent.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Because it's basically the premise of the track for those who don't know, is it's basically when you can and can't use the F word.
Okay.
So I've got to use the F word in order
to.
You know, that's a joke that I can't clean up and do somewhere else. You know, I've since stopped telling the joke because I'm working on the new album now. But they decided it would just be too many bleeps.
Okay.
You know, it would just be annoying to hear just bleep, 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 bleep. So they figure, you know, they just kind of made it quiet.
Sure.
And so sometimes people don't even notice that a curse would have been there.
Okay.
So, like, they just think I'm pausing.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, well, I would be glad to bleep the stuff for him. I was like caught up in myself, like, you're gonna go, oh yeah, there's some guy on an AM daytimer wants to bleep my stuff for me.
No, you know what? On the next album, I might need it. I mean, I'm not with Razor.
Or I'll show you
anymore.
How to, you know, it's real easy.
Yeah, no, I can do it. You know, I can do it because it's, you know, I just don't have the patience.
Okay.
Like I did that for the pilot. I produced a short piece.
Oh, okay.
Where the basic premise of the piece, I can. I can go over it for you. It's basically, it's called My Father the Sports Fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this kid remembering about growing up with his father who's a huge sports fan.
Okay.
And since most huge sports fans are crazy, that's basically the premise of it. So he tells this great story about how he went to this Braves game with his father and Hank Aaron hit two home runs, but his father booed him the one time he struck out. And they go and they meet Hank Aaron afterward. They wait for his autograph, and Hank Aaron doesn't want to sign. He's like, hey, weren't you the guy that booed me? And then the kid goes, and I'll always remember what Hank Aaron said to me that day. Go bleep yourself. And I mean, that's the point, but I had to bleep it because, yeah. Otherwise, because I couldn't, you know, not sure. For network. So, but wow. But everybody knows what I meant, you know, so yeah. it ended up being pretty funny anyway.
Wow. See, I do a lot of, like, some of the songs have profanities, and I'm the program director here, so I have to bleep some. Like, I'll give you a little example of some of them. Like, there's some good songs we play here that I have to put censor bleeps in.
Yeah.
Here's one. Right here. Takes a minute to build up. Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Long way to go for this. Life is older than very good at bleeping.
It's John Denver, right?
Yes. Younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. I should have bleeped when I said John Denver.
Yeah.
Just John bleeping Denver.
Yeah. There's another one here.
It's actually pretty. That's a really funny premise. I'm just.
Oh, that one's not bleeped.
Oh.
I should hit the delay button on that. Here it is. Here's the edited version.
I see where this one's going. used to be able to get away with a lot more on radio, right?
Yeah. There's one other one. Which one was it? Oh, here it is. Here.
All right. What's new, p***a cat? Nice.
What's new, p***a cat? So I'm pretty good with the
bleep. Well done. No, that's good. That's very good.
Thank you.
That's
came up
funny.
With that myself.
I'd love to just bleep like Celine Dion songs, yeah. You know? That'd be a lot of fun.
I'd love it if you just bleeped cats.
Yeah.
We're having a good time here.
Yeah, this is great, man. This is awesome. You guys should come on more often. You should move to Westchester and hang out at Bam's house.
Well, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun, except for the part where it wouldn't be fun. But other than that, you know, fantastic.
Do you ever watch Bam Margera's movie Haggard?
No, I never watch any of that stuff. And you know, and I've met Bam, and he was a very nice guy.
Cool.
But I'm just not into I'm not into Jackass. I'm not into any of that stuff because I just, you know, I don't know. I just feel like. I see that stuff in real life.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I see people doing. I tour college campuses.
Yeah.
You know, like what do I have? I ever had a week where I haven't seen someone try to staple their nuts to their leg? I mean, it happens all the time. You know, this is old hat for me.
Sure.
I just don't know. I just don't see that as. You know, most of the time, if I ever see a clip, my reaction instead of laughing is just going, oh, that's awful. You know.
Well, he has a movie where it isn't. It isn't like Jackass or anything. It's
really?
It's a script. It's about a friend of his whose girlfriend
is Merle Haggard.
She breaks up with him, and he's all stressed out. Like 3 days later, she's already with another guy, and he's wondering if they had sex together. And so he hires his friends who are Bam and Brandon DeCamillo to break into her house. And go through her drawers and look in her diary and stuff to find out if they've had sex or not. Because if they have, then he'll never be able to get back with her. But if they haven't went all the way yet,
then there's a chance. Yeah.
So and they turn this into an hour and a half of comedy friggin' gold. I mean, it's really done well. It's
actually
all film
sounds
film.
Like a really good premise.
It's very funny. It's called Haggard. Very good. Yeah. I mean, it's probably, I don't know that it ever played in theaters. So it's like a directed DVD, I guess, thing. But brilliant movie. And then, so the director of it and Bam and Brandon DeCamillo, he's been in here, Brandon DeCamillo and the director, Joe France, they just made another movie here in Westchester called Ming Hags.
Mm-hmm.
And me and that fellow over there, Dave the Electrician, got to be extras. Well, not extras, actually, like play the roles of like cameramen. And I have like two lines in it. So it's pretty cool.
That's not extra. That's it's U5. It's called.
Yeah. Oh, what's that?
Under five.
Oh, under five lines.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Cool.
U5.
I did not know that.
I haven't done a U5 yet. You know. I do. You know, all the TV I've ever done. You know, I'm myself because it's always been like interview shows or you know, talk shows or things like that. Mm-hmm. So you know, I have not yet done an official U5. Yeah.
Cool.
I did a Law and Order where I was part of the scene, but I didn't have a line.
Really? What did you do?
I was being interviewed as a witness in the back.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was like one of these things where I was originally just supposed to be a regular extra, and it was in Chinatown, and there were three murders. It was like there was a sniper in Chinatown. That was the premise of it. And I was at all three crime scenes because they reuse everybody. And then they realized, wait a moment, 6'4 white guy with red hair at three different crime scenes in Chinatown, he's a suspect.
Wow.
You know, so they cut me out of the other two, and then they moved me up in one.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up being, you know, I was, while Jerry Orbach is like interviewing someone else, I'm in the back, you know, kind of talking. So I was talking, but you couldn't hear me.
Was he as stiff as he was in
as he is now?
Yeah, when was he more stiff? Now or in that Dirty Dancing movie?
That's
the worst acting in Dirty Dancing.
How many dead old people jokes can we do today?
Not enough.
It's never enough. You
maybe
know,
if they stop dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's their fault.
Yeah, they're asking for it.
Yeah.
The way they're dressed.
Yeah. You almost look like Rappaport. You know that guy?
Yeah, that's actually in my bio. In my bio, it says, the last line is, he also looks a great deal like Michael Rappaport.
You do.
I get that all the time. Actually, most of the time, people say, hey, you look like that guy. And I say, Michael Rappaport.
Yeah.
And they say, no, the guy... He's got that show on Fox. I'm like, yeah Michael Rappaport. He was in those Woody Allen movies.
No.
Yeah, Michael Rappaport.
No, he was in True Romance. Not
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, Michael Rappaport. And they're like, no, someone else.
No.
Yeah, it's.
No,
I
he's
get that.
Dick Ritchie in that movie. No.
Without my glasses, I look a lot more like him. And you know, if I wear like a backwards hat, you know, I look like him too. And I get that a lot.
Is that show still on? That wasn't bad. The War at Home.
I don't know. I never saw it.
It wasn't bad. I mean, I hate everything, and that wasn't bad. I mean, that,
you hate everything?
Well, I like South Park and Family Guy and The
Simpsons.
Oh,
you just meant TV shows. I thought you meant
shows.
In general.
Oh.
Like that was your, someone's knocking on the
studio
door.
This is radio aluminum foil. Why are you knocking on the door?
Oh, yeah. I have to go
home. Oh, you want to take a picture? All right, I'm going to go break right now.
I thought he was Michael Rappaport. I'm sorry.
Okay. That was a joke that we heard, but the audience didn't, because he's never near a microphone.
He said that...
there was Josie saying he has to leave because he thought you were Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, and now he's disappointed. So he's going to go home.
All right, now Art requested that you review Josie's material there. Now, how was that?
That was... You know what? The timing was good.
Okay.
The delivery was good.
Okay.
The microphone technique was awful. That's part of being a comic. You gotta know mic technique.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because I mean, he could have come over and leaned into one of our microphones.
That's what
he
should have, yeah. All right. Well, there you go. You got some constructive criticism.
But it was a good joke. You know?
All right, cool.
I've heard a lot worse.
You could play like if that show's still on. You can try to work yourself in as like his brother.
I actually at one point I had sent a letter to his agent with a kit saying if you ever need a flashback scene or you know or
yeah,
his
like,
brother
yeah,
or something
yeah.
I could totally do it.
Yeah.
I was considered actually for and they ended up going with someone that movie Epic Movie. It was like this big spoof movie.
Okay.
And they had like one scene with grown up Harry Potter.
Okay.
And they were considering me for Ron.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, cuz my manager managed the same Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall who was playing the grown up Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
So they were
Kevin
looking at
McDonald.
Me for Ron. Yeah, Kevin McDonald is like my favorite Kids in the Hall guy. He's
Bruce guy. Who was Bruce McCullough?
Bruce McCullough. Yeah, he was great too. I mean, they were all. I loved them all.
Yeah.
But Kevin McDonald was the guy who played. You know, I don't know how much people are into Kids in the Hall, but I loved it.
No, that was brilliant. That was like Saturday Night Live, but funnier.
Yeah, he played with. He played the. Oh, I can't remember the character's name, but he had manservant Hecubus. He was like the devil guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would, you know, would say about how evil he was, and he was like, "I'm evil, the kind of evil that would help an old lady across the street, but evil nonetheless."
Yeah.
And he was awesome. I saw them live in New York. It was
nice.
It was great. Yeah.
They didn't do like parodies of anything famous. All their characters were their own characters.
Yeah.
So they weren't like doing a spoof on real people, real celebrities. Which I think was probably even harder to do. I mean, I don't think they ever did any
Yeah, but some of the I mean, some of the characters they created, like Chicken Lady.
Oh yeah,
was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why. I mean, they ended up having, you know, that movie Brain Candy.
Okay.
But I'm surprised, you know. I mean, Saturday Night Live always spins off their characters into movies.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, in every little character, every recurring character,
sure,
gets a movie. And none of the, you know, there would actually be, I think, some great Kisnall movies in there.
When Bruce McCullough pretends he's like a little boy and he's just annoying one time.
That guy is great. And Crushing Your Head.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Crushing Your Head is a classic television.
Yeah. You know, the scene in American Pie where she says, one time in band camp? Well, that's actually the Bruce McCullough bit.
Yeah, that's kind of the
that
way
little
the,
kid.
The
he's
way
like,
the kid
one
talk.
Time
yeah.
they taught a dog to smoke.
Yeah,
and
wow,
like,
that's a good. You really are good at impressions,
thank
man.
You.
I'm impressive. I'm impressive. That was awful.
Well, you're also impressive.
It's thank you.
Nice.
It's like you're really good at that.
Oh,
I'm
thank
better.
You.
No, that's what I accidentally said. Freudian slip. It happens.
It's funny stuff. All right. Actually, Joe C. would like to take a photo, and I would like to be in the photo as well.
And I would like to eat a bagel. So
you
this...
would like to eat a bagel? I would like you to not get a ticket. I don't know how caught up your meter is. And I can sneak in a commercial or two here. 1520 AM WCHE.